Good evening, church. I think naturally I am a very slow speaker, and sometimes it frustrates people that I speak very slow. It's because I need to process things and see where the next thought comes from. Having said that, I might need to sort of put the foot on the pedal this evening and speak a little bit faster. We continue from where we left off last week. However, Keith totally ignored the hero of our story last week and decided to speak about somebody else. So I'll bring us back to the hero. Well, the person that Keith spoke about is Judah, and Judah has got more significance on the whole story than our hero does. So Keith was justified in putting our hero to one side and speak about the one that founded the real hero of the story. So we're reading from Genesis chapter 39. And before we do, I would like us to pray. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are exalted on high. Lord, there is no one else above you. We give you all the honor, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, as we gather together, Lord God, to worship you and to adore you, O Father, we ask, Lord God, that your praises, Lord God, our praises, Lord God, will come up to you, O Father, as your glory comes down, O Lord. Father, we exalt your holy name. We say, Lord, let your will be done of our will. Lord, I pray as we share on this word, O Father, that, Lord God, you will speak to us, that, Lord God, you'll reveal your heart to us, O Lord God, and direct us, O Father, and show us your ways, O Father. For, Lord God, we are nothing without you. And, Lord, you are the one that directs our paths, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word, for it is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. So, Lord, we pray that as we delve into your word, O Father, that, Lord God, it will light our path for us. Father, may it accomplish every purpose, Lord, for which you send it for. And, Lord, may it not return you void, but, Lord, let it fill every empty void in our lives, O Lord God. And, Father, let it draw us near to you. We honor you, Lord, and we exalt you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. So when we left our hero, he had been sold to the Ishmaelites. And chapter 39, verse 1 says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was a captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph. He succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. As his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished, So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her and kept out of her ways as much as possible. One day, however, no one was around when he went in to do his work. She came in, grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon, all men came running. Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind. She kept the cloak until her husband came. Then she told him her story. The Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me, she said. But I screamed, and he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him in the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and everything that happened in prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Amen. So a fortnight ago, we heard from David how family feuds come about and how people do things that you could not believe happen in families. And as such, this happened in Joseph's family with his brothers plotting to kill him, but eventually spared his life and sold him to the Ishmaelites, who then took him to Egypt. On arrival to Egypt, he gets sold to Potiphar. And as we read, Potiphar is the head or the captain of Pharaoh's guard, which means he's someone of high standing within the palace settings. Joseph could have been sold to anyone, but for some reason, he gets sold to Potiphar. And if it was me, or maybe any of you in this house, this could have led us into a great depression. We may have found ourselves in a situation where we are asking ourselves, why me? What have I done to deserve this? Why has all these things happened to me? I was happily living in my father's house, enjoying my cloak of many colors, and here I am, a prisoner. However, this happened to Joseph because it was part of God's plan. And many a time we look at this story and we forget where it all began. When we look back to the previous chapters, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness covered him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they'll be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. Afterwards, they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried of a good age. In the fourth generation of your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So Joseph being sold into slavery, the brothers plotting everything that they plotted was no accident. It was part of God's great plan. He was going to take the children of Israel into Egypt and serve that 400 years there. And if you're not satisfied with this part that I read, Psalm 33, verse 10 says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So God has put this plan in action. And we see that Joseph has done nothing to deserve this, but he was at the right place at the right time, for this was part of God's plan. And to bring all of Abraham's descendants into Egypt, this is how they ended up going. As we go in through the story, you'll find out how the whole family ends up in Egypt. And instead of falling into a depression or going into a pity party, Joseph goes on and honors God in all that he does. What is expected of him as Potiphar's slave, he does everything, and that ensures that Potiphar is blessed because of Joseph's doing. And remember that the Bible tells us that in all we do, we must do as unto God. And it says in Colossians 3, 22-24, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do, and do it not only in their eyes, when their eye is on you, to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. We're not serving men, but we are serving Christ. And because of his attitude and the fear that Joseph had for the Lord, we see God blessing him in everything that he does. And Potiphar is even blessed because of Joseph's being there. And the Bible tells us in John 16, 33, Jesus said, we will have trouble. But it doesn't end there. It says, take heart, I have overcome the world. So in the midst of trouble, we need to remember that we are not there on our own. We are there with Christ. He has overcome the world. It might have been really difficult for Joseph at that time, because Joseph did not have the New Testament that tells us that Christ has overcome the world. He probably didn't have the Old Testament either, because it wasn't written then. There was nothing to tell him to take heart. Yet still, he took heart. He saved faithfully. And in the midst of those trials, he remained faithful. If I were in his shoes just for 1 minute, I don't think I would have lasted. I'll probably be on all the social media platforms that I can find and shouting aloud, oh, what have I done to deserve this? What has gone wrong? Ask all sorts of questions that I can never get answers of. And it's very easy when we are in such circumstances to focus on what we are facing and forget where our focus needs to be. Yet Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man who excels in all his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So going back to Joseph, he gets sold to Potiphar. He could have been sold to anyone, but he gets sold near the palace, near the kings. He's standing before the kings. So although trials may be difficult that we face, we need to remember that we serve a living God. And James encourages us to count it all joy. He says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And where do we get that patience? We get that patience through going through the trials. Without trials, we cannot really know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. It can be easy to show love when things are rosy, but it's how we react or treat one another when we are faced with challenges, when we are stretched to the limit. James is teaching us here that when faced with challenges, we ought to consider them as opportunities for growth, building up our faith muscles. We need to remember that God promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, whether we are in the furnace or we are in the flood. God is with us. We see many examples in the Bible where God has shown his goodness in times of trouble. We see the story in Daniel chapter 3 of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We also see Daniel in the lion's den. We also see another example of Jonah who decided to go his own way. Even in his own way, God was still with him in the midst of that fierce storm. We see Paul in storms. We see him even beaten by a viper after he survived the storm. And those that are around say, see, this man is a wicked man. He survived the storm, but he's met his end. And he shakes the viper and he carries on as if nothing's happened. Why? Because God is with him. So in all these occasions, these men of God exercised their faith and they never doubted him even once. I love particularly the story from Daniel of the Hebrew boys where they respond and say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship your gold image, which you have set up. So, whatever you might be facing, make it your motto that I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure, but I will serve the living God. They were firm in their faith, and they knew that they had a God that they could rely on, that they could count on, no matter what the circumstances were. Their God remained the same. So going back to James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he has been approved, and he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his desires and enticed. Then, when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, it brings forth death. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we find ourselves under attack. And then we turn and blame God. But we have got a responsibility to move away from those things that are a temptation, from those things that we are unable to fight on our own. It might be the things that you expose yourself to. It might be the things that you're reading. It might be the things that you're watching on television. It might be the company that you keep. During these storms, let us not focus on the storm, but let us keep looking forward. In due course, we will receive our crown that we are promised there. I once heard a story, and I've told it before. It was this father who was going on a trip with his daughter, and the daughter was driving. And while they were on the way, a huge storm came up. and they could barely see 2 meters in front. And the girl started to see cars pulling off on the side. And she asked, "What should I do, Dad? I think it's getting too difficult." The dad said, "Keep driving." And she kept driving, and the big articulated lorries had pulled off to the side. And she said, "What should I do?" The dad said, "Keep driving." And she drove and drove and drove until she was out on the other end. And when she came out of the storm, the dad said, "Okay, you can stop now." I said, "I don't understand." And he says, "I want you to look back. All those vehicles that stopped are still trapped in the storm, and you are out of the storm." So during the storm, do not focus on the storm. Focus on who you trust in and press on, as Paul writes in Philippians 3:12. "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we should ensure that we press on. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, that no matter what challenges you might be facing, press on towards that mark, knowing that when we cross that finish line, there is a crown that awaits us, the crown that Jesus Christ has promised us. We know the promise, and we know that it is guaranteed for us. Joseph, on the other hand, was holding on to a dream, and that dream seemed to be fading away when he got sold into slavery. At this point in time, there was no glimmer of hope inside for the dreamer, yet he continued to trust in God. His brother plotted to kill him, but he was eventually spared and sold to the Ishmaelites. Then he was sold to Potiphar. In Potiphar's house, he faced a different challenge, which was Potiphar's wife. It says, "Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. 'Come and sleep with me,' he demanded. But Joseph refused. 'Look,' he told her, 'my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one has more authority than I do. He has held nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God.'" But she kept on putting pressure on him day after day. So the enemy came persistently at Joseph, and yet he resisted that enemy. And Joseph is doing this not out of fear of men or the fear of what Potiphar will do to him. He says in verse 9, "No one has more authority than I do. He has held nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." He then says, "How could I do such a wicked thing? It will be a great sin against God." A great sin against God. His response is very clear and very articulate, that this would be a sin against God. And he considered God before he considered men. His fear is for God rather than for men. He didn't put it in the lines of, "I'll be hating you," or "sinning against Potiphar," or "sinning against myself," which is when we are under pressure, such excuses are easily rationalized away. But by obeying God, Joseph piled blessings on his head. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, If you diligently obey the voice of God, of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his command, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your heads, the increase of your cattle and your offspring, and the offspring of your flocks. So we see here that the fruit of these blessings is that in everything that Joseph does, it prospers to the extent that Potiphar himself gets blessed because of Joseph being there. Sometimes God puts us in places where our enemies live at peace with us because of what he's done. It says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. For Joseph, things might seem to be, at the time being, things seem to be going well as he has made head over everything. However, as he stands his ground and resists Potiphar's wife, she plots against him, resulting in Joseph being thrown in the prison. When he saw the attack coming, he ran. When we are exposed to situations, our natural instinct should be to run. The enemy might be left holding our cloak, but by running, we evade sin. There's a story that my grandfather used to tell me. He says this guy was in the forest, and he had gone hunting. And all of a sudden, he found himself faced with a lion. And he thought, what should I do? I'm a believer, I'm a man of God. And he went down on his knees to pray. And he's praying, Father, protect me from the lion. And the lion goes on his knees as well. And he prays, Father, bless the food before me. So when we see a challenge coming our way, we need to run, because the enemy will take advantage if we do not use the wisdom that God has given us. So it doesn't matter whether we get thrown into prison, God's grace and God's mercy will chase us behind those prison walls, and his favor will find us and he will bless us. 1 Peter 5 reminds us that the devil is roaring like a roaring lion. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's remember to put God at the very center of everything that we are doing. Whether we are prospering, whether we are suffering, let's put God in the midst of everything. Joseph ran from the situation when he had the accusation. He ran from the situation, and when Potiphar heard the accusation, he threw him into prison. Some commentators suggest that he might have not realized what was going on in his house, while on the other hand, some say he might have taken the side of his wife and ignored everything else that he had seen. But whatever the case may be, we know that all that happened to Joseph was part of God's plan. He had to be thrown into prison so he could continue with his training. So, just want to leave you with two things from Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though mountains shock with swelling. God is our refuge and strength. And then he says in chapter 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Whatever we are facing, let us remember that God is our refuge and strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God, that you have given unto us. Father, I pray that your word will have fallen into good ground, and that, Lord, we will meditate on it, and we will learn, Father, that, Lord, whatever we do, we should put you in the center of everything, and that, Lord, you are our present help in our time of need. Father, we exalt you and we honor you, Father. We pray, Lord God, that, Father, as we continue to learn, Lord God, about Joseph, that, Lord, you will teach us even deeper. Lord God, bring us into a deeper relationship with you. I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Lord God, as we head out into a new week, Lord God, that, oh Father, you will be with us. Oh Father, I pray your protection and I pray your blessing, Lord God, on each and every one of us, oh Father. Lord, I pray that your name will be exalted. And I pray, oh Father, that wherever we set our foot, Lord, we will possess that ground, oh Father. Lord, I pray for the places of work. I pray, oh Lord God, for our environments, Lord God, the places we interact, the people we interact with, that, Lord God, we will be the salt and the light, oh Father, in those areas, oh Father. I pray, Lord, that your name will be exalted in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.